May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen.
Amen.
For many, Memorial Day weekend is all about barbecues, family gatherings, and days at the beach or camping. And all that's good. I'm sure some of you have some barbecues to go to later. But that's not what this weekend is supposed to be about. Originally called Decoration Day, it was a day set aside to honor the fallen in the Civil War. And later it was changed to honor all those lost to any war. And this weekend we remember and give thanks for all those who have died while serving our country, and also those close to us, family, friends, and relatives. We take the time to bring these loved ones to heart and mind. Why? Why do we visit gravesides of those lost to us, whether on Memorial Day or otherwise? Why do we gather together to lift up the names of those who have gone before us? And why do we have plaques, as we have here all over this church, with the names of the deceased? Well, actually, we actually have the deceased right over there in our columbarium, and by some accounts, a few ghosts as well. Don't run away. I've taken naps in here on Sunday afternoons all by myself, haven't seen anything yet. I think we want what the disciples longed for, another moment with the one we loved. And yet what the messengers are telling the disciples is something crucial to our faith and to our lives. Jesus ascends into heaven, disappearing from their sight. And the disciples are still standing there, gazing up and trying to get a glimpse of him. Now, there's a good comic. I love this. I'll probably post it on with the sermon. But it shows all the disciples looking up, trying to get that last little bit of Jesus. And one of the disciples is going, "But I don't see him, I don't see him." And underneath it says, "Ascension Deficit Disorder." Anyway, they're trying to get a glimpse of him, and two messengers of God appear and say, "Hey, what's up? What are you staring at? There's nothing to see here. Move on. Move along." Now, they would have understood that if they had really listened to what Jesus had been telling them all along. In fact, we heard this in the gospel either last week or the week before. He said that he had to leave, but that another, the Spirit of Truth, would be sent to be with them, with us, forever. He made it clear that he had to go. He had to go that his work might be completed. But how? How would that be without him? Now, as most of you probably know by now, one of my favorite modern-day prophets is Irma Bombeck. Anybody ever read Irma Bombeck? If you have not read her, you really need to, especially if you're a parent of any child. She's hilarious, wonderful, gifted writer. We lost her far too soon. And she once wrote this bit entitled, "Children are like kites." Children are like kites. You spend years trying to get them off the ground. You run with them until you're both breathless. They crack. They hit the roof. You patch, comfort, and assure them that someday they will fly. Finally, they're airborne. They need more string, and you keep letting it out. They tug, and with each twist of the twine, there is sadness that goes with the joy. The kite becomes more distant, and you know it won't be long before that beautiful creature will snap the lifeline that binds you together and will soar as meant to soar, free and alone. Only then do you know that you have done your job. Now, while I know that parents generally love their children, those that do would never want their kids to spend their lives living with them. It isn't because they don't enjoy being with them or because they want to turn the kids' room into a home office or a gym. Maybe. It's because they hope for more for them, that they might live into who they were born to be. And they can't do that living in the safety and comfort of their parents' home. They have to live their own life. And in that life, they will make mistakes. Anybody here not make a mistake ever? good. I'm glad I'm not alone. They will get hurt. They will fail. But they will also thrive, pick themselves up, and have successes too. They will be their own unique selves. But they will always carry with them their parents' love and the guidance they received. If they never left home, then they would never live as they were born to live. And that's what Jesus is hoping for his disciples too. As long as he was physically around for them to follow, they would never fully live into who he needed them to be in the world. You know, when he first sent them out to go do miracles and stuff, they came back. They struggled to do the work he called them to do. They came back and we couldn't do it. Now I think that was because they kept thinking, I'm not my teacher. I'm not Jesus. They leaned on him, and he did the heavy lifting of ministry. But now they needed to move on, move out of the house, as it were, to be all that he knew they could be. And they did. We heard today, after they encountered the messengers, they went back to the city, gathered together men and women disciples. Did you catch that? Men and women disciples, and devoted themselves to prayer. But wait. Aren't they supposed to go out and do stuff like Jesus did? Aren't they supposed to be the Christ in the world now? Sure. But all of that begins with emptying. Now, this is actually out on our banner. If you've ever looked at our banner on the side of the church, you might have noticed this. There are those who see the glass half full, and those who see it half empty, and those who say, what glass? But I think no matter how you see the glass, when it's filled halfway, when it's filled all the way, you know you can't add any more to it, right? It's filled to the brim. You can't put anything else into it. To add more, you have to empty some of it out, right? Now, Jesus told them that the Spirit would guide them. But if that is to happen, they have to be willing to listen. They have to be open to what they will be given. They have to make room for it in their hearts, their minds, and their souls. And that is the gift of prayer. So many think of prayer as a one-way conversation. You know, hello God, it's me. I need help with this. Thank you for that. Amen. Right? But perhaps the most important prayer of all is silence. God's trying to speak to us all the time. I mean, you don't have to be kneeling at your bed at bedtime. You don't have to be in a church. You just got to slow down and quiet down and open yourself up. God's trying to speak to you. But most of the time, we're too busy, too distracted to even realize it. How many of us have tried to talk to a teenager who's texting with their thumbs while listening to music through their earbuds? Anybody? Because I know I have. I've run a few youth groups. How much do you think they actually hear? Yeah, it's kind of like talking to cats and dogs, right? Now most of you know I just adopted a two 6-month-old kittens and one 1-year-old three-legged Labrador retriever. The retriever is actually over in my office even as we speak. She's already heard the sermon. And the old comics, there was a comic, I think it was The Far Side, about communication with cats and dogs are true. Speaking to a dog, we might be saying, okay, Sparky, that's the last time you get into the garbage. Stay out of the garbage, Sparky. But all the dog hears is blah, blah, Sparky, blah, 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 Sparky. Now, speaking to a cat, we might say, Ginger, get off the countertop. I mean it, Ginger, but all they hear is nothing. They're not even listening. I mean, if you have cats and dogs, or teenagers, then you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? But Jesus hoped his disciples would turn to prayer, prayer in which listening was involved, that they might hear what the Spirit of truth would tell them. And what did they hear? The same thing we believe today, that he never really left them or us. We don't need to look upward to find him. Just all around us and within us. That's why we say that Christ was, is, and is to come. Not just Christ was and is to come, Christ is. Christ is. And I have to tell you, it's really interesting, and it's a combination, probably the light and the fans are, but I was standing here at the opening of the service, and I looked back at the font, and the water seemed to be dancing. And I thought that was so fitting for a Christ that's alive that the baptismal font would seem to be just dancing with life. Now, we pray two prayers at some funerals. I like to use these, particularly for those who die far too young. I think one of them at least is from the New Zealand prayer book. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use our Savior's name rather than the deceased, and I've combined them for brevity. We seem to give Jesus back to you, dear God, who gave him to us. Yet as you did not lose him in giving, so we have not lost him by his return. For what is yours is ours always, and life is eternal, and love is immortal, and death is only a horizon, and a horizon is nothing save the limit of our sight. We gratefully recall all that Jesus was to us, all that he stood for in the world. May we live even more constantly in the companionship of his Spirit and carry out in the old spheres in which we together moved so much of his purpose as we can. May we be kind to the friends he loved, devoted to the community in which he lived, loyal to the causes which he served. Thus in our life, may he still live on to our own comfort and the welfare of your world. It's that last part that I think most clearly speaks to the lives we are called to live. May we be kind to the friends he loved, devoted to the community in which he lived, loyal to the causes which he served. Thus in our life, may he still live on to our own comfort and the welfare of your world. And who are the friends he loved that we are now called to be kind to? The poor, the homeless, the marginalized, the oppressed, the lonely, the forgotten, and the least. What is the community in which he lived to which we are to be devoted? Here, our parish family, and the church around the world, and also all people of the world, no matter their faith, their country, their language, how they love. Why? Because Jesus called the world his own. All of it is God's. All of it is Christ's community. All of it we need to be devoted to in service through our ministry. That is how we also serve the causes to which he was devoted, that all may know that they are loved deeply by God. I often ask at funerals as well that we remember one aspect of our loved one that we most admire and commit to living that each day. In that way, they live on in us. But while we remember the Jesus that was, when we live out our lives as he did, we walk with the Jesus that is. The disciples were never meant to stand there staring into the heavens. They were never meant to sit around grieving the loss of their rabbi. They were meant to live, to be what he called them to be, because Jesus was with them and us to the end of the ages. God came into the world to show us how to live. Not to live that life for us, but to give us what we need to live it ourselves, with God's help. Like the parent that hopes to give their children all that they can, they don't intend to live their child's life. Indeed, if parents try to do that, they're going to damage the relationship. God knew that. No, the best way to love for a parent is to let go and allow them to live, hoping that the guidance you have given them as a parent and will continue to give will give them courage, strength, and love to be what they are called to be in the world. And God hopes the same for us. Memorial Day is a time when we remember those who have gone before. We can no longer see them, but they are present nonetheless in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Our faith, however, is not only about remembering what once was, but celebrating what is. The Eucharist, to be clear, is not a remembrance meal, or not only one, but a celebratory feast of thanksgiving for the Christ that is present with us, the Christ that is alive. People fought over the Reformation about that. We believe in the real presence of Christ at the Eucharist, truly here with us, truly alive. So don't look upwards toward heaven to find Christ. You only get a crick in your neck. He's here, in you, in your sisters and brothers, in the world. Pray and listen for the Spirit of Truth to guide you to be Him in the world. Thus, in our lives, may Christ still live on to our own comfort and the welfare of God's world. Amen.